Technology today has never been smarter. But smart only matters when you put it to good use. Together we can build a smarter future for all of us. Let's put smart to work. Find out how at ibm.com/smart.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Also in New York was Google's annual hardware event this week. And as the company faces massive pushback over kind of leaking Google Plus user data and kind of not disclosing it immediately, as previously reported on the podcast, it perhaps hopes it can distract you with some shiny new objects, including two new smartphones, a tablet-laptop hybrid, and a tabletop smart display, all designed to balance efficiency and privacy with voice-controlled Google Assistant. We'll talk about it all, but first, these tech headlines. Google's plan to lower the risk of another privacy gaffe is likely to disrupt business for scores of app developers that build services using the wealth of data generated by the world's most popular email service. This week, Google said it is reining in the data it makes available to outside developers of Gmail apps as part of a broader effort to secure privacy of its users. A Google spokesman declined to comment on which developers will be affected, but said the company will only allow apps that provide a user benefit. U.S. stocks suffered their biggest decline in more than 7 months on Wednesday, as investors accelerated their retreat from fast-growing tech stocks in favor of shares that have been overlooked. The Dow Industrials plunged more than 800 points. NASDAQ lost 4% in the biggest decline in months. Among big technology stocks, Apple declined 4.6%, Amazon 6.2%, and Netflix dropped 8.4%. Combined, the three companies shed nearly $120 billion in market value. The rotation out of tech and other growth stocks among the most popular trades of the year to so-called safety stocks, such as utility companies, was sparked in part by the recent jump in government bond yields and the Federal Reserve's bid to tighten monetary policy. The Journal's Corey Driebusch has more at WSJ.com or on the WSJ app. SoftBank is exploring taking majority stake in WeWork. Investment in the 8-year-old provider of shared office space could total between $15 billion and $20 billion and would likely come from SoftBank's Vision Fund. In 8 years, WeWork has grown from a single office in Lower Manhattan to a workspace giant that rents more than 260,000 desks in 287 buildings. WeWork now occupies more Manhattan office space than any other company, renting 5.3 million feet there. Coming up, Google holds its annual hardware event in New York City. What it has to offer via new hardware, and what it has to say about your privacy concerns. This week, Google invited the press to roll out its smartphones, the Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL, which sell for $799 and $899 respectively. Also making a splashy display, the Pixel Slate Hybrid Chromebook and its smart display device, the Home Hub. We have one member of that press in our very own podcast studio for a change in New York, is the Wall Street Journal's David Pierce. Hey.
Hey, it's good to be here.
So, big unveiling this week. I caught the streaming version, some of it. I tried to find you there. I couldn't. But it seemed like the theme from the get-go was going to be about how it's all going to come down to the way that software works with the hardware. It's a partnership, and it wants us to remember that throughout the event. Keeping that in mind, talk to me about the Pixel 3, the software as it works with the hardware. Is it? Do you think it's in line with what should be next level for the Pixel?
Google's whole thing now is that it really wants to broaden people's conceptions of what Google is, from, you know, a site you go to search for stuff, to a place you go to answer stuff, which is kind of what it became with those little boxes where you type in a question and it just gives you the answer, to now this more sort of ethereal being that's just kind of around helping you all the time. It's like they keep talking about the Google Assistant as your own personal Google.
And they played a lot of help songs. I couldn't help it over
exactly.
Here. When I was, I'm like,
exactly.
Really? They found another help song?
The line I hear constantly from people at Google is, we're here to just be useful to people. That's what we want to do. And so you look at something like the Pixel, and Google's fundamental belief is that hardware doesn't really matter. Like, they made a nice enough phone. It has fast processors and a pretty good screen, but so does every other phone. And Google's big bet is that they can use what is sort of their core competency, which is machine learning and computation and artificial intelligence, to do really interesting things. And it's true. I mean, this phone has a feature that you can open the selfie camera and it will wait for you to make a funny face or smile, and then it'll take a picture automatically. Or you can take a bunch of photos in a row and it'll pick the one in which you look the best. Or it can do things like help improve the quality of a zoomed photo, basically just by guessing what the details are, because its computers are so smart, because it's seen, you know, millions upon millions of photos and knows what a good photo looks like. So that's really, I think the thing that Google does best is that kind of stuff. It's the same thing that makes Google good at guessing what question you're asking when you type a query. It's like just a new way of kind of accessing information. And whether or not it always works quite as well is, I mean, it's true when you search on Google too, but this idea that your phone can be smarter and help you in that way, I actually think is real.
Okay. Also very real is the Pixel Slate, the Chromebook laptop hybrid tablet thing. Does that satisfy the market's need for this type of device?
The idea here, and this is something you hear from Apple and Microsoft and Google and really everybody, is that we are just doing all the things all the time, basically, and that having sort of a work device and a home device doesn't make sense. We do home things at work, we do work things at home, and
right.
We want our gadgets to be as versatile as we are and to sort of flit across all of these different parts of our lives. And so the Pixel Slate is a Chromebook that runs Android apps that can be either a handheld tablet that you just use like a normal tablet, like an iPad, or you dock it into a stand and it has a keyboard and a trackpad, and at that point is a pretty powerful laptop. So the idea is like use it at your desk all day, pick it up, hold it on the subway, you know, use it in bed at night, and then undock it and hold it to watch Netflix before you go to bed.
Right,
or
naturally,
what have you.
Right.
And this goes back to sort of the same thing, which is that Google is really desperate to just be with you all the time. We're entering this phase where instead of, you know, going to a website and typing something, you're just going to yell at your microwave whatever your questions are. And if that's Amazon's Alexa or Siri or, in this case, Google Assistant that answers, being that thing is really important. So Google is obsessed with this idea of just being around you all the time.
Yeah.
And the Pixel Slate being the screen you stare at all day and all night, no matter what you're doing, I think is really important to Google.
Talking more about life infiltration, we have the Home Hub. And this comes just as, you know smart display is very in vogue right now. Facebook just announced the portal. What's Google's angle with home display and how they're going to broach this interesting market? It's interesting times for the market, especially after the week Google's had.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tricky thing. These companies are desperate to get us to put these sort of ambiently aware devices in our homes. And Facebook in particular, I have such a hard time imagining anyone trusting Facebook enough to put a big stinking thing with a microphone and a camera in their living room.
The timing is something else, right?
It really is. And Google, at least to its credit, I mean, basically the Home Hub is this little sort of 7-inch screen that sits on top of a speaker that you plug into the wall, and it's designed to sit, you know, next to your bed or in your kitchen and just sort of offer helpful information. You can ask it for your calendar and it'll show you your appointments, or ask for directions and it'll show you a map, and you ask for YouTube videos and it'll show you videos, things like that. It's a lot like your phone. Honestly, it's just sort of available from across the room or around your house. I'm relatively skeptical of this entire product category, honestly, but Google, at the very least, doesn't have a camera on its, and made clear during the presentation that they intentionally left off the camera because they want people to feel comfortable putting it in their house. I mean, I had the experience. I brought home Amazon's Echo Spot, which is a sort of little version of the same thing. And it's intended, it even looks like an alarm clock, and it's intended to act that way. And it has a camera on it. And I put it next to my bed, and my wife just instantly was like, nope,
of
that's
all
not
places,
going here.
Right?
Yeah, we're not doing that. Like, absolutely not. And I think that's totally valid. And we're all honestly taking this a little too seriously to not think hard before we put a camera that is connected to the internet in our houses. And again, Google, to its credit, didn't. But I think this whole idea of devices that do similar things that your other devices can already do but are sort of ambiently available, it's interesting. I'm just not sure it's all the way quite there yet. But in terms of what works about it, it's designed to be very much a sort of universal controller for your smart home, too. So you can just walk up to it and use it to turn off your smart lights or open the doors or check your doorbell and things like that. And that's, again, it's very Googly. It's this thing where it's like, okay, you have all these disparate pieces, and we're going to try and put it all together in a world that makes sense for you. And that's kind of what Google does well.
I'm just going to go through some notes that I jotted down. Random notes. The Pixel Stand charger. Whoa.
I love this. I think the Pixel Stand, weirdly enough, was the most interesting and sort of ingenious new Google product. On the one hand, it's just a wireless charging stand. It sits, you know, vertical, and you prop your phone in and it charges. And that still feels kind of amazing.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Like,
wireless charging is great. The really smart thing that it does is it'll actually sort of change what your phone does. It turns it into something like the Home Hub, where you can talk to it from far away and it displays this ambient information. And even Google said, talking to people after the event about it, that basically you already have a screen. Why do you need another one? It's a big screen. If you buy the Pixel XL, it's barely smaller than the Home Hub. And so if you put it on here, we can make it useful to you in the same ways. And it becomes kind of this different device depending on where it is. And I think that is fantastic.
Yeah, it was something else. Too many random notes I got here. Not enough time, it seems. But you can check out more from David at WSJ.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
More details at WSJ.com or on the WSJ app. That is Tech News Briefing for now. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.